You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Sex bias in healthcare and research has long been a prevalent issue for women, as clinical trials occurring as recently as 2023 have excluded women in favour of testing men as the average person. This has had consequences such as women being more likely to experience negative side effects to certain drugs due to important differences in female bodies being unaccounted for in research. As today is the International Day of Women and Girls in Science, I spoke to Associate Professor Dr. Kelly Burrows at the University of Auckland Bioengineering Institute about the historic and current gender inequities in healthcare and clinical research, as well as the femtech revolution. In a 2021 article for The Conversation, you explain there are differences between a male and female body, down to even the cells, yet women are often left out of clinical trials. What might be the reasoning behind this exclusion, both historically and currently?
So historically, it was because one of the big scares was the thalidomide incident. So this was a drug that was tested, and it was found to cause quite severe birth defects. So it was actually, there was a period from around 1970 to about 1990 where women were actively excluded from clinical trials of new drugs. But more recently, they're allowed to participate in drug trials. But one of the key reasons why they're left out now is because women's bodies are a bit more complicated. So we have hormones that fluctuate in a monthly cycle, but also over our lifetime. And that change of hormones can interact with these drug trials, and sort of it makes women a bit more complicated to study, which is often why males are seen as sort of an average human being and typically favoured for these sorts of clinical trials.
According to the United States National Institutes of Health, women make up 78% of the 8% of Americans who have autoimmune diseases. Are women more likely to suffer from certain illnesses?
Yes, definitely. So this is, aside from how the differences in what you see between men and women and the differences in reproductive systems, our biology can be quite different. And one of the things that you mentioned is that how our immune system works. So women or females have a stronger immune system or stronger immune responses than males typically. And this would normally be a good thing if you're fighting off a cold or a flu or something like that. But actually, it's one of the reasons why a lot more women suffer from autoimmune diseases. So it's this sort of over or increased response of the immune system. But there's also lots of other differences in the body. I mean, the sizes of our organs are slightly different. How our blood vessels respond to things are different. How we sense pain is different. So there's a huge range of quite subtle differences, but there's definitely a lot more that we need to learn about sex differences and how the body works.
According to your 2021 article for The Conversation, despite it being known women are more likely to experience certain illnesses, as well as different symptoms for those illnesses, being undiagnosed or misdiagnosed remains a prevalent issue for women. How might a missing or incorrect diagnosis affect a person's life?
So, one of the key examples is with symptoms of a heart attack. So, if someone's having a heart attack, they've got a blockage in one of the vessels in their heart, the symptoms can actually be quite different. So one of the differences there is that a woman might be having a heart attack and she might be in the emergency department, but because her symptoms aren't the typical or male-dominant symptoms, a female is much more likely to be sent home from an emergency department when she's actually having a heart attack. And obviously that can result in more severe outcomes. But there's other examples like that that I don't have time to go into.
FDA data from 2022 indicates women are almost twice as likely to experience adverse reactions to drugs due to being excluded from research. Does the data look any different now? Or in other words, have we seen improvements in the past 2 years?
So that's a really good question, and I haven't seen a more recent study that looks at that. But while there is a much stronger drive to ensure that equal numbers of males and females are recruited in clinical studies, it's still not necessarily the case. So actually, I've got a statistic here. So in one of the COVID clinical studies that was in 2020, but there was still only 4% of clinical studies were actually analysed by sex. So even while there might be equal numbers of males and females, sometimes the data is all analysed together, and then you can miss differences across the sexes. So these sorts of things can still be happening. And actually, even in New Zealand, we found just a couple of years ago, by coincidence, a clinical trial that was recruiting only men for a clinical study that was testing the delivery of a new treatment for breast cancer. So, I mean, these sorts of disparities are still continuing, which makes it much more likely that when a drug is released, if it hasn't been tested sufficiently on women, there's a good chance that there will be more adverse outcomes in women when it's released into the community.
According to the Global Gender Gap Report from 2023, only 29.2% of the STEM workforce are women across 146 nations evaluated. Has this contributed to inequality in medical research? And if so, how can more women be encouraged to go into STEM fields?
Yeah, definitely it would have sort of led to differences in outcomes in the development of health and health technologies. And I've got some statistics for New Zealand. So there are quite a few girls that go on to or initially start studying these STEM subjects, but actually there's a huge drop-off when it gets to university level. So in New Zealand, only just less than 20% of women continue to study in these STEM fields. And that drops hugely as well in postgraduate research. There are only around 4% of women doing a master's degree, only 2% or so doing a PhD in STEM fields. And this leads on into senior careers in the science fields. And that can mean that, sometimes it can be as simple as when men are creating a solution to a health problem, they might overlook the differences that females might have. But also they are more likely to sort of overlook female-specific health issues that might be a problem. And actually one field that's sort of standing up to this is called femtech, or female technologies. So this is really where a lot of women around the world are having female-specific problems, and they're having to solve the problems, sort of creating these companies and technologies to solve the problems themselves. So one of the ways that we can increase the number of girls in science in these STEM fields, one is sort of having more female role models. We need to really get more female senior people in these STEM fields. And actually I read an article that one of the biggest predictors of girls going into science is the mother. So if more mothers know about science and really promote science to their daughters, hopefully we'll get a bit more of an awareness and more girls sort of having the confidence to go through into these STEM subjects.
You've already touched on this, but I understand you founded the Femtech Revolution in response to sex bias in healthcare. Can you explain what Femtech is?
Yeah, so Femtech, as I said, is short for female technologies. So these are, often people are like, why do we need the Femtech? Why isn't it just health tech? As we've talked about, traditional health technologies are often designed and made by men for men. Without neglecting these differences in the female body. So this area of femtech is really becoming a huge industry around the world. It's about a $50 billion industry, and it's on the rise. And these are really health technologies that are specifically related to solving or supporting women's health. Often these are wearable devices or different products that you can use at home. And initially to sort of support things like understanding our hormones related to fertility and menopause or perimenopause, fertility devices for urinary incontinence. But the whole idea is that these are products that are really targeted specifically towards the 51% of the world that are female.
That was Associate Professor Dr. Kelly Burrows from the Auckland Up Bioengineering Institute, speaking to me about sex bias in healthcare and clinical research.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.